we're expanding to include an education path so they can go back to school and to give them a really good focus on education. We're expanding to include a small business path, so if they want to be an entrepreneur, they can learn how to do that. And we're expanding for a vo-tech, so if they want to get licensed or certified, they can go through that track. And so it's a huge expansion and much broader scope than we offered in the past.
A recent survey found that 44% of recent vets since 9/11 say they weren't prepared to move on to civilian life. And what about these new offerings do you think will help people do that?
It's a huge transition. I mean, there's no doubt about it. And oftentimes the skills transfer can be tough. You know, it can be very tough, especially when you're looking at those coming out of, you know, combat and those kinds of things. So we've added another section on military occupation crosswalk, which spends a lot of time working with the member on their military duties and how those translate into the civilian sector. That's the toughest part, is for them to explain to employers how the skills they've learned in the military fit into the civilian sector. And that's where we see service members failing, is not doing a good job of translating those skills. And so we've added a large piece on that, and there's a huge focus on that now.
You've also started some other things that I want you to talk a little bit about. Financial planning support and pre-separation counseling. Are these things that you are bolstering, or are they new offerings?
We have offered pre-separation counseling for the last 20 years. We've offered it, but we are absolutely bolstering it, and we're adding quite a bit more to that. It's very thorough, very lengthy process to get a member through their pre-separation counseling, but we've added some pieces, signing up for VA benefits within that, and we've added some other pieces to bolster that. And then what we've done, when you talk about the personal financial readiness, we've taken our 3-day transition workshop and expanded it to 5 full days. We now include a 6-hour piece on personal financial readiness, which is just going over incredibly at the pilots. It walks the member through what I think is the most dramatic, is when they look at their taxes, at the benefits that they have now with their taxes, and how that's going to change in the civilian sector, and ways to prepare for that, ways to go out and look at all different areas in the United States, because our folks are very mobile, and all over the world, as a matter of fact, at the salary differences and what kind of a salary they need to make to maintain their income, those kinds of things. It's going very, very well in the pilots, and something that we were remiss, you know, something that we needed to have all along.
Tell me, how big is the shock? I mean, I don't know what the difference is, you know, between what somebody in the military is used to taking home and what they might, on average, find themselves with in the private sector.
It really, really depends. I don't think that a lot of them are aware of the incredible benefits they have in the military. When you look at medical and dental and tax shelters and special kinds of pay for combat, and it's education benefits, it's amazing. And I don't know that they're really aware of all those perks until it's boiled down for them in the class and they throw up some really candid slides on, hey, here's the differences. Some of them do incredibly well in the private sector and they can't wait to get out because they actually make a better, you know, salary in the private sector. But others it takes them a while to recover, and they have to really do a lot of work to get back to that level. They have to sort of start at a lower place and, you know, come back up again to prove themselves.
I'm speaking with Peggy Rayfield, the Air Force's Chief of Transition Operations. In your new expanded program, are you using more experts from the real world or the civilian world, having them come in and talk to the service members? Because there is that, as you mentioned, that sort of culture clash or language difficulty between the two groups.
do a really good job. The Department of Labor does a really good job of talking about translating the military language into civilian language in their three-day piece, you know, their three-day part of this five-day workshop. And I think we really hammer that more than we ever have before. The Air Force has always done a lot with local employers and the chambers of commerce. And so we often do employer panels. We do all kinds of job fairs. We do all kinds of alumni, bringing alumni back in to talk to airmen about their experience and, you know, how it's going with them in the civilian world. So we do a lot of that as an option. It's an option for our centers to do.
At the same time, the president has announced transition GPS. It seems along the same lines. And, of course, he's made a big push to getting new vets, jobs in the civilian sector. How does your program fit in with that military-wide approach, transition GPS?
Well, it's a DOD program, so we're all sort of implementing the same kinds of things. I think it's really important to note that we are really pushing, really emphasizing a tailored approach to individual needs, really specific assistance with individual tracks, where individuals want to go. And as we're trying to stop this sort of blanket for everyone and do more individualized counseling, working with members to get them straight on the path to where they want to be, giving them more options.
How did you go about doing that? Have you hired more counselors, for example?
Yes, we have. We have added to the Air Force. We've hired 100, and we're in the process of hiring 135 counselors. And I think we're doing a really good job with the 3 2-day tracks that I mentioned earlier, where they're very small groups and they can either pursue an education track, the small business track, or the VOTEC, the vocational or technical track. And they're very small groups that get a lot of really hands-on assistance.
Do the service members often know which track they want to go into?
They don't, and that's what we sort that out during pre-separation counseling. We do pre-separation counseling either individually or in very small groups, and that's where we go through all of the services and benefits that are available to them, and that's where we really try to kind of scrub down. What exactly do you want to do? Where do you want to go? And lots of our young folks that are getting out, they want to go back to school. That's why they enlisted, you know, was to get that wonderful education benefit. So a lot of them want to go back to school, but at the same time, they need to work to compensate, you know, for going to school, that the funding that they do receive, they need to compensate that. So we talk to them. They're doing education and employment. And a lot of people say, hey, I've been working on the flight line for years. I want to be a technical aircraft technician with an airline. How do I do that? So we say, well, good. We need to get you in the VOTEC piece so that you can get that sorted out and leave with exactly the information you need to do that.
Given that this is your first major revamp in 20 years, what was the catalyst for it? I mean, why do it now?
I think our leadership was startled by our unemployment rates. I really do. And I think it was like, you know what, it's time to really take a look at that and see what we can do to help with the unemployment.